Hello and welcome to the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, for the 23rd of June, 2022. I am joined by Harry, and I thought you were going to say hello.
Nope.
Okay, and today we're talking about Biden saying just pay less for oil. Idiots. It's the solution. Morons.
Duh.
Ezra Miller is a fugitive, and intersectional conquest, which is certainly what London looks like right now, with the flags up. But otherwise, just to mention first, we have the Gold Tier Zoom call coming up, so that's tomorrow. At 3:30 UK time, so adjust your time zones to that, of course, in which we sit and take questions. So if you're a Gold Tier member, come and join, of course. And if you want to be, well, there you go. That's one of the things you can do. Just come and join the Gold Tier Zoom calls. Otherwise, let's get into the news. So I suppose we'll start off with Biden. Biden has decided to issue a new directive, which is just pay less, idiots, for oil. Dumbdos.
Why didn't anybody think of this sooner?
Yeah, big brain move from the dear leader. And I thought we'd mention first, of course, just the politics of the death of Stalin on lotuseaters.com, which you can check out if you're a subscribed member, which is also a place in which the politics is just utterly retarded, and seemingly so in the White House still. So if we go back just a little bit to previous history, of course, Biden campaigning, in which he openly says he would transition away from the oil industry. Good. Promising to destroy it. And if we go to the next one here, he campaigned in the primaries as well, saying here to Bernie Sanders, no more subsidies for the fossil fuel industry, no more drilling, including offshore, no more ability for the oil industry to continue to drill, period. It ends. Pretty stock rhetoric, pretty open about what he's going to do. And then, of course, he got into power. Don't know how that happened. Go to the next one. We can see the executive orders in which, of course, day one, revoking the March 2019 permit for the Keystone XL pipeline. And then the next executive order being on day two, pause for all new oil and natural gas leases on public lands. Okay, so promises made, promises kept. Actively.
I mean, fair play, you know, I've never seen it from a politician before. Congratulations, you put a stupid idea, yeah. And then you went ahead with the stupid idea.
And there's a whole bunch of other things. If we go to the next one, Ted Cruz just noted, those are just two executive orders I've brought up, but there are loads of other things, as Ted staffers note here, that influenced the price of oil in the United States. And, well, certainly didn't help it, even if the impact is not massive, that's for sure. But if we go to the next one here, we then have the latest news on this, which is Biden saying that he's calling on Congress to suspend the federal gas tax for the next 90 days through the busy summer season. Presumably, as Nuance Bro points out, Joe Biden is getting so screwed in his own approval ratings that he's now decided he's going to eliminate the gas tax, even though he ran on literally destroying fossil fuels. Specifically the oil industry, as we saw. And of course, this comes on from the endless whining that this is Putin's fault, which is why he's able to control it, not Putin, which let's not talk about that for a minute. Mm-hmm. We go to the next one here. He is continuing to talk about the fact that this is Putin's price hike. I mean, me and Carl have looked at this a lot because no one's buying it, of course. I mean, not even Democrats think this is true. This is obviously just cope. But I wonder if it is just them going with the old Goebbels familiar, which is, you know, if you say a lie often enough, eventually it'll come true. Hopefully.
Fingers crossed.
Otherwise, what's the point?
If we believe in the magic.
Yeah, and this is all kind of, I don't know, it's desperate, to say the least, obviously, that the President of the United States has done such a terrible job. He's not, all right, what if there's no, we'll just take off the tax.
I mean, desperate's a good term for it. I would expand that out to be so far the Biden administration has had the character of someone desperately trying to rush to the toilet after soiling themselves.
Yes, and this is just the latest iteration of it, but it's just the fact that, as Nuance Bro said, like a guy who campaigned on destroying the oil industry, now getting rid of all taxes on oil for 90 days, or at least pledging to the federal level.
I mean, you know, at the end of the day, I'm not in favor of subsidizing industries that sort of like corporate welfare doesn't really sit well with me because, you know, if the I'm not in favor of like protectionism, but the other taxes and other such things on top of it wouldn't have been helping those industries in the first place.
Well, so, as a libertarian, I imagine you've got the question on your mind, who will pay for the roads? Which is apparently nobody. So, of course, the federal gas tax paying for the roads, and then the fact that, well, who's going to pay for them? Well, people who don't use the roads now, because that's how that's going to work. But I saw even CNN have now turned on President Biden, which I was not expecting. I had that on the bingo card.
I feel like the cathedral, the legacy media are turning on Biden. I mean, they've kind of been in the shift for a few months now, actually, primarily because they're probably going to put a different face on the campaign when it comes around to 2024, because Biden has been such a public and obvious embarrassment for them all.
A new suit, rainbow flag, it'll work this time, we swear.
Yeah, they're going to replace him with Kamala, which will go well.
And whoever else, yeah. You know, some stock person. And as you can see here, even CNN decided to play a clip of a Barack Obama attacking, well now, Joe Biden. Let's play.
He'll ask Congress to suspend the federal gas tax for 3 months. He says it will provide some relief to Americans battered by record high gas prices. This move would shave off about 18 cents per gallon of gas and 24 cents per gallon of diesel. But the move faces a skeptical Congress. Would this really help? Or is it just a ploy for political mileage? And President Biden will have to counter this dismal dismissal, I should say, by then candidate Barack Obama in 2008.
We're arguing over a gimmick to save you half a tank of gas over the course of the entire summer so that everyone in Washington can pat themselves on the back and say that they did something. Well, let me tell you something. This isn't an idea designed to get you through the summer. It's an idea designed to get them through an election.
I mean, it's just weird to see. Like, I feel like I've entered Bizarro World, in which CNN is running attack clips against, you know, Democrat presidents.
Using Obama?
Yeah, using Obama as well, which is just all kinds of strange. But
at the end of the day, if they wanted to do anything to actually help, the gas tax holiday would not be for 3 months. It would be forever.
But then who would pay for the highways? That's the question. It's like, well, you either put them privately or you don't do this. But that's the obvious point as well, which is by Obama, which is actually a good point, which is that this is obviously just, I need some help because I'm losing bad. This is also the obvious point, 18 cents. Are you happy? We took a whole 18 cents of ruse off the price. Mm. It's like, well, it's gone up on average $2.50 per gallon. But okay, a whole 18 cents.
Well, now it's only $2.32, so who?
Fantastic. And Biden decided to do a whole bunch of press conferences or speeches about this, trying to gin up support that he'd done something amazing, presumably, which he obviously hasn't. And this next segment here is just as a clip here, I'm saying, my Republican's friend claimed we're not producing enough oil, that I'm limiting oil production. Quite frankly, that's nonsense. Like, well, it was your party that did the lockdowns, which then destroyed everything. And has now had the knock-on effects here. And also the idea...
It was his policy that shut down the Keystone Pipeline.
Yeah, or all the federal land stuff. It's like, well, you're not doing anything to help it, that's for damn sure.
No, they're absolutely not.
They're absolute nonsense. And then if we go to the next one, this is where we just get the amazing just buy it for cheaper, morons, moment, in which he decides to go and say that, quote, to the companies running gas stations and setting those prices at the pump, this is a time of war, bring down the price you are charging at the pump, do it now. As if it's just charge less, idiot. I was like, yeah. Why would they do that? Like, if it costs X, they need to make profit Y. It's like, well, okay, just charge less. It's like, yeah, just bring your cost down. I mean, it's like listening to a child. Let's play.
The companies running gas stations and setting those prices at the pump. This is a time of war, global peril, Ukraine. These are not normal times. Bring down the price you are charging at the pump to reflect the cost you are paying for the product. Do it now. Do it today. Your customers, the American people, they need relief now.
Once again, speaking to us like we're all babies.
Yeah, but I mean, seriously, just pay less. Just have the cost go down.
So what he's asking for really there is I imagine this is all going to be leading up to some kind of, I would not be surprised if they put some kind of federal price controls on it, which is going to be very bad if they do that. Price controls never work on anything.
Yeah, of course.
That's essentially what he's suggesting there. Just put your own price controls on so we don't have to, which will only result in a few things, which will be shortages. People losing their jobs or just businesses going bust.
Price controls never work.
No, like, of course not.
Obvious nonsense. But I just can't get over the framing here, the fact that he's like, just lower the costs. I mean, like he is an actual teenager saying, if you're homeless, just buy a home. Idiot. And if you go to the next one here, I mean, this is the meme itself, which is just like TikTok thought solves world homelessness by saying, buy a home, moron. And you got Biden being like, just pay less for gas, idiots.
You know, she's got a point, though. She's got a point. Why don't you just buy a house, dude?
Yeah. I love this meme, in fact, has a whole bunch of examples where they're just like, oh, wow, if you're disabled, just stop being disabled, idiot. Disabledness goes to zero.
Yeah. Lost your arm, just grow another one.
That is really the level of economics we're dealing with, which is TikTok thottery, if nothing else. And there's also the fact that, obviously, you know, he knows nothing about the oil industry by that statement, if nothing else. I mean, I don't either. I don't know why the oil industry.
I don't really know enough about the American oil situation to make too much commentary on this, sadly. No.
But I did have a few guys in the Athens Discord who did try to explain it. And there was one guy in particular who had a crack at it, and I'm going to butcher it, but...
Here we go.
The summation of what I got out of him was essentially, like, we're running oil refineries at maximum capacity. And there's the fact that, well, if you want to lower the cost of the refineries are paying, well, then lower the EPA regulations on them, because that's the thing that's massively upped them in the last
couple
years.
There you go.
It's like, well, okay, that's just a guy who explained to me, which is one of the main problems. It's like, even if we can just drill more, it's going to take like 9 months to sort everything out because everything's just buggered, thanks to the lockdowns and everything anyway. But then, you know, no one is helping them in federal government land, which certainly seems to be true. And then we have this, which was echoed by the diversity hire here, saying oil companies should just be patriots and lower the gas prices.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know what.
See, this is all just coming across like state threats to me. Once again, this is do it before we do it for you.
Essentially, it's just like, okay, this is normal. I mean, I love the idea. You remember when they did that graphic? It was like the average cost of Thanksgiving is down 7 cents this year,
ooh,
which was obviously not true anyway. But then the idea of just being like, you're charging that much for turkeys? Well, just lower the price, moron. It's just like, if you don't, well, presumably you're going to nationalize the turkeys as well.
Yep.
Friggin' mad. Anyway, but if we go to the next one here, we can see that the petroleum, well, community, petroleum race, have done something in response, it seems. As you can see here, this is a letter that the American Petroleum Institute wrote to President Biden, in which they're like, hey, you could do these things to help us. Or they literally give him like a list of 10 things, which is just like, just do these stuff. Yep. This would help the situation.
And all of it, you'll see there, lift development restrictions, fix these permits, blah, 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 blah. Most of this will be stop getting in our way.
Yeah.
Please, for the love of God, stop trying so hard, because whenever the government tries anything, it blows up in their face. And Biden will just go, no, just do it.
Well, yeah, he got no response to this letter, apparently. However, if we go to the next one here, there is another letter. This one from the CEO of one of the Chevron, who did write a letter, and I read most of it, and it's just him mostly sucking off Joe Biden in this letter, which is like, look, my glorious leader, who we will work together on this, I swear. And well, he was very polite, to say the least, to Biden, and saying, look, but here's how you could help. What was the response from Biden? What do you think?
Nothing.
No, worse. If we go to the next one. Biden responded to this by saying, it's mildly sensitive. I didn't know they'd get their feelings hurt that quickly.
He's just saying, I'm sorry, soy cooks. Are you not reducing the price yet, beta?
I no gratitude whatsoever. So like the people in the industry being like, hey, okay, we'll have a conversation. Here's what you can do to help. Get rid of these regulations. Morons. What? So we're trying to work with you. And not even the slightest bit of reciprocation, which is just instead like, ah, why are you getting your feelings hurt?
Biden just cracks his knuckles, puts down the child he's been sniffing.
Where am I? If we go forward, it just gets worse as well, because he gave another speech in which he said, for Republicans criticizing me for high gas prices in America, are you now saying we were wrong to support Ukraine and to stand up to Putin? Are you saying that we'd rather have lower gas prices in America than Putin's iron fist in Europe?
Yes.
You don't want to ask that question.
Literally everybody wants that. It is a foreign war that you've got no business in.
Well, that's the point. I mean, for us in Europe, you know, there's more contention. Eastern Europeans obviously have major concerns. But the question fundamentally for American citizens and American taxpayers and gaspayers, which is, well, can they think of a single vital US interest in Ukraine? Except Joe Biden's family. No. And that's the question that keeps coming down to for Americans. So it's completely understandable as to why they're just like, well, yeah, of course we'd have lower gas prices than weird interests in a country I've never heard of.
It's just got... It's not just that as well. They justify it sort of like philosophically and ideologically with this sort of continuation of the old Rhino Warhawk lines of like, oh, we need to protect democracies wherever they are in the world. No, you don't. No, who cares?
I mean, this comes off the back of, what was it? Ukraine has now banned the opposition party, which...
Oh, much democracy.
Very based. Anyway, let's go to the next one here. Because then we have, obviously, the point as well, listed, just the foreign aid, if nothing else, the $54 billion US dollars, which, for any Ukrainians watching, won't end up with Ukrainians, of course. Because I think it was Marjorie Taylor Greene released the fact that most of the politicians who approve this and their own families have NGOs who work in these countries who are set up just to help the poor,
I'm sure. So they're going to get some nice bonuses this Christmas, then?
Yeah, it'll end up in the hands of NGOs who are run by politicians' families who voted for it. It won't even end up with Ukrainian soldiers.
Once again, much democracy.
Yeah, would you rather that money went to the American people instead in a tax cut, of course, but too bad. And then if we go to the next one, there is more response from his administration, which, again, is comical. And this one being the fact that the only way to get out of this is to continue doing what we're doing. I mean, it's like listening to Mao Zedong. It's just like, the real problem is the rightists. They're the ones who have slowed us down.
If everybody just praises Mao more, everything will be solved.
Yeah, so this is the energy secretary who gave a speech. Let's play this one.
The real truth is that as long as our nation remains overly reliant on oil and fossil fuels, we'll feel these price shocks again. This is not going to be the last time. The next time there's a war, the next time there's a pandemic or another hurricane, these extreme weather events we are experiencing, they will impact the access that we have to fossil fuels. The only way out of these boom and bust cycles is to break that sole reliance, and that means diversifying our fuel sources by deploying clean energy.
I hate these people talking about boom bust cycles when they've no idea what causes them.
No, but there's also just the obvious retardedness. I mean, we're going back to just buy a Tesla, bro, there. It's like, didn't you know your gas costs a lot? Well, just, you know, we'll diversify our energy needs, and then it won't happen.
You know, the random blue or white collar American who's being screwed over by this is not going to be helped in any way by just saying, look at this 60 grand Tesla. Can't you take a loan, bro?
Yeah, there's also the obvious point, as you mentioned in there, you know, when we have another war or another pandemic, etc. It's like, no, none of these things were caused by that. But yeah, this is not caused by Putin. This is caused by a democratic attack on reason itself. By saying that, oh, we'll just attack the idea that you could produce oil and nothing will happen. Trust us. It's like, nope. Promises made, promises kept. Also, we can see here, this is just the energy information website here, showing that if you scroll down, the US does actually already have a pretty diverse source of energy as well. The idea that they're not doing this is just nuts, but whatever. And then we go to the last one here, which is the fundamental argument. This not via a member of the administration, but on MSNBC, so, you know, the regime's media. And you can see here, this is a guest who decided to go out with it. And I imagine this is how they all really feel, which is, shut up. Just take it. I'm not joking. This is our argument. Need you to stop moaning. Let's play.
You know, I'm just going to say this, and if I get banged for it, I don't care. There is a great deal of Americans where it is uncomfortable that they're spending more, but they are not going to go under. You know, you got to stop complaining when there's so many people who literally the inflation rate means they may only have two meals instead of three. There are Americans who did extremely well in the last 2 years in the market. You still have your job. And yeah, it's costing you more for gas, but guess what? You're still going to take that holiday, that 4th of July vacation. You can still eat out. So I'm going to need you to calm down and back off, because it feeds into this fear, and then this fear feeds into people making decisions that creates the very thing that they're fearful of.
That face kind of sums the whole thing up right there. Jesus Christ,
can you
man.
Take a day off for 4th of July and still eat? Well, shut up.
I mean, it really speaks to the fact that the Democrats appeal only really to the upper middle classes who can have enough capital saved up to be able to afford all of their missteps and all of their mistakes and everything that blows up in their face. The working class people who, you know, like, is suddenly going to go from two meals a day to one, or maybe even just less than that, this will not appeal to them somehow.
Yeah, I love how if you're not living as a North Korean, well, you're doing well, so shut up. Under Biden, that's good. You're doing all right. It was like, okay, weird condemnation of your own regime there. But I love it. I actually love it. I actually want more of this. I want to see more of them literally just saying, you know, the let them eat cake narrative of just...
It really is coming across like that, isn't it? The ruling elite have gone completely off the rails.
Yeah, well, they're desperate. They've got nothing left, so all they've got left is shut up, stop complaining. Well, that's it. That's all they've got. As you can see here from The Spectator as well, this goes back to the let them eat Teslas situation. You may remember this. And the best one here being Buttigieg at the time saying, is gas too expensive? We'll just buy a Tesla.
Because electricity prices aren't going up at all.
No, but also just buy a $60,000 car.
Yeah.
Okay, good advice, I suppose. And there was also Stephen Colbert at the time saying that he'd pay $15 for gas because he drives a Tesla. So don't worry about it, of course. And I love it. We'll end this off with just a meme from J Prime 85 from Twitter, of course, here being, you know, are you suffering with the price of gas? Well, an extra buck or two is a small price to pay for a clear conscience. Bye-bye.
Flies away on his carriage.
Yeah, and there you have it. And I saw all these clips blown up yesterday. I thought we had to do a segment about it because I'm just amazed by the open contempt by the regime at this point. Just being like, hey, you have a problem with gas? Well, the gas companies, just lower the price. Like, why would they bankrupt themselves for you, of all people? I mean, someone who literally said, I'm going to destroy you and your industry.
Yeah. I think the funny thing is that so many people can see beyond it, because unlike so many other times that this sort of stuff has happened, people aren't immediately just blaming the, like, I don't know, the gas station down the road for raising the prices. Oh, it's price gouging. Everybody can recognize that this is due to massive mistakes that the administration has made.
Yeah. Anyway, that's that.
All right. Moving on, let's talk about Ezra Miller and him being a fugitive. A few weeks ago, I did cover, I think it was last week, I covered a little bit of this story, but it's just so much more mental than that now. The whole thing has gone even more to pot, and I thought it'd be interesting to cover it because it really goes to show how insane Hollywood is and the sorts of people that occupy Hollywood and why you should never ever let anybody from Hollywood near your children. Speaking of people you shouldn't let near your children, Josh and Thomas recently did a discussion on the rise and fall of Oasis as a premium video. So if you're interested in seeing their take on Oasis being a genre-defining band from the mid-90s and Thomas's idea that they are, I think he has some idea of them as the voice of the proletariat almost. I mean, you know how Tom can be. So,
are you very anti-Oasis? They shouldn't be around your kids?
Well, more the way that Josh and Tom are dressed in this shirt, in this so far, to be honest. But I'm not a big fan of Oasis. They've got a few songs here and there, but I was always more of a Blur guy myself. Although I will happily admit that Liam Gallagher is far more based than anyone from Blur ever has been. So, you know, there is that. If you're interested in checking that out, go to the website. It's premium content, so get a membership and enjoy. Anyway, so for those of you who aren't aware, Ezra Miller is an actor. He is most famous for playing the Flash in the most recent Justice League films. I think you aren't really aware of who he is. And so
how'd you guess?
well, you seem so informed on pop culture, you know? So I thought I would go through a full detail of his career and, as Pink News puts it here, his transformation from teen star to queer icon, and queer icon nowadays has all of the dirty, dirty connotations that you would expect it to come with. And I thought it would also be interesting because Pink News have had to go from glowing praise of him to changing their tune a little bit more recently. And just buckle in, because this will get insane. So just for those of you who aren't aware of Ezra Miller, as this gives a decent enough breakdown. So he has grown up in the public eye. He's an actor from America, transforming from a reserved schoolboy into a gloriously queer butterfly. And once again, this is just another warning. Yeah, he was, I think, started at 16. If you are a parent and your kid wants to go to Hollywood to be an actor, no. No, don't say no. Look at Miley Cyrus. Look at all of the Disney stars. They all get messed up. They all end up drug addicts. And as we're going to see here, some of them end up groomers as well. They all end up broken and scarred. Don't let them near it. So he burst into the mainstream in 2010 in the film We Need to Talk About Kevin, where he played a psychotic teen called Kevin, which is foreboding. The film, an adaptation of Lionel Shriver's novel of the same name, premiered at the Cannes Festival and earned acclaim for both of its stars, so that kind of gave him his initial success, and then he went from success to success. He starred as a gay teen in a film called The Perks of Being a Wallflower, which I've never seen, and then he, in 2012, spoke about identifying as queer for the first time in 2012. He then went on to star in, like, Fantastic Beasts, the follow-up prequels to, say, the Harry Potter films, and, as I've mentioned, The Flash in the Justice League. So he's kind of gone, he's been quite a rising star from a very young age. You know, you look at it and you go, well, you know, good for him. He's been getting some success. But then we started to see increasingly weird behavior, and some of that was involved at Comic-Con, for instance, where in 2018, he dressed as a sexy Toadette from Mario, getting everyone's attention as the queer actor played with gender ideals. Good what? Start. Yep, gender ideals, completely transformed. If you just scroll down a little bit further, you can see him dressing in some stuff. There's sexy Toadette. Does this look like a normal and well-adjusted human being to you, Callum?
You know, it could be just someone having a laugh. I don't know.
But I don't would know you guy. Let
He's
this...
A weirdo, but...
Would you let this man near your children?
Nah.
No, I wouldn't either. And he explained he does not identify as male or female, but uses he, him pronouns. And this was at the time. He has since changed his mind on this, although I'm still going to call him he because I mean, obviously. 2018's Fantastic Beasts lined him up for an even bigger role in the Wizarding franchise. He was waging a one-person war on the gender binary, wearing a series of iconic, eye-catching outfits while promoting the film, including this sleeping bag that he decided to take to some world premiere in France here. And it, you can get the feeling of this is very attention-seeking behaviour. Ooh, look at how weird I dress. Where am I? Like, look at how special I am. But for the most part, it seems, like, relatively harmless. Well, then he started to display some more weird behaviour, such as when he came out and said that he had a polyamorous squad of sexual partners.
He's okay. Got a harem.
Pretty weird. Basically, yes, where he said that he was a sexual being and had found satisfaction in a squad he calls his polyamorous molecule, or polycule for short. Polyamorous group includes members of his genderqueer band, Sons of an Illustrious Father, and others who fit in with the rest of his polycule's vibe. He explained that he found fulfillment in the polycule, saying, "I'm trying to find queer beings who understand me as queer right off the bat, who I make almost a familial connection with," because that's who you want to be having sex with, people you consider your family. "and I feel like I'm married to them 25 lifetimes ago from the moment we meet. And then they're in the squad, the polycule, and I know they're going to love everyone else in the polycule because we're in the polycule and we love each other so much. There is so much cope and so much cult-like sort of vibes emanating from these statements, aren't there?"
It's the kind of thing you want to call the men in the coats. It's like, the guy is just nuts. Like,
yeah, no, he is absolutely nuts, but so far, nothing outside of what we kind of expect
it's 2022,
Hollywood.
So...
it's the current year, exactly. I agree.
Why shouldn't you be able to have a familiar polycule?
Oh, but then there comes up... but then these Pink News articles keep mentioning some things that would probably inform his later behaviour that kind of give things away that, yeah, this was not a normal person with a normal or healthy childhood, shall we say. He opened up about some formative experiences with sex, saying that during elementary school, which in the US runs until the age of 12, he had a friend and also sexual partner. And this is not to laugh at him for this. Obviously, this is a terrible thing, whether he realized it or not, that it is not normal or healthy to have a sexual partner at or before the age of 12.
Sorry, how old was the partner?
I don't know. It doesn't mention in the article, so it might have been someone his age, which would still be weird, or even worse, it could have been someone older than him. But you could see how, given the sorts of psychological damaging effects that can have on a young boy, how, when we get to it, it informs his later behaviour, potentially, as well as the fact that Hollywood is just a hive of degeneracy that nobody should be involved in. The actor, who reprises his role in Fantastic Beasts, revealed that he remembered having his first sex dream at 4 years old. He said it included a witch trapping him on a water spout, the column which tornadoes can form over a body of water, which he describes as being tantalizing and delightful. Once again,
Pretty weird.
The signs were all here, Hollywood.
Were you having sex dreams at four?
No, I wasn't.
I mean, either.
I was having nightmares and wetting myself at four, like many other people, but, you know, I wasn't having sex dreams. He's also come out with things like saying that Jesus was a queer radical, and to this I can only imagine that meme of the person saying, actually, Jesus was a queer, brown person of colour, and the Christians just going, ah, maybe you'd like to read about him then, and presenting the Bible, and they turn into the devil and just hiss away. But I imagine, as the article will go on, that he does hate Christians. So he said, "I'd like to chill with Jesus. He seemed like a queer, radical person of colour who was resisting an occupying empire. Literally, he is the meme." And alluding to anti-LGBT evangelicals, he added, "I don't know how it's gotten so twisted up, you know what I mean. I identify with every single faith in the world and none because they're all effed up. Quote me."
Okay, well, that sentence obviously makes no sense.
Obviously, but also, not, but this is obvious attention-seeking behaviour.
I have always wondered from these people as well, who are like, yeah, Christianity's pointless, and it's, you know, obviously anti-gay, so we should have no involvement, but also, gay marriage. I just wonder, why?
What do you see the institution of marriage as being if you remove it entirely from the religious components and such?
I mean, you want some kind of atheistic marriage, presumably, in which case, well, surely that's what a civil partnership is. You're doing it.
Yeah, but it wasn't enough because it means we haven't yet pushed the Christians under our boot and given them revenge for everything that they put us through. Because
anyway,
that's what all this always ends up being. Revenge, let's be
just
honest.
Just people who say that you can't be gay and Christian and that one gay marriage confuse me.
Yes, but on the subject of his gender identity, because everybody needs to know about that, he says, I don't identify. Like, F that. Queer just means no, I don't do that. I don't identify as a man. I don't identify as a woman. I barely identify as a human. And that's what the whole queer aspect is. Whenever you see people saying queer people existing is not a political statement, yes, it is. If they're using it in a leftist interpretation, queer means against the political norms.
He's politically queer, not gay.
Exactly, exactly. And you can always tell from when they're using terms like queer instead of just using terms like gay or lesbian, because it has a political connotation to it. It's politically loaded. But at the same time, they want to have it both ways. They want to have their cake and eat it and say that it's queer is a political term, but also queer characters existing and other such things in fiction is not a political statement when it obviously is. He also opened up about his own Me Too movement, which came at the hand of a director and producer he declined to name. They gave me wine and I was underage, he said. They were like, hey, I want to be in our movie about gay revolution. And I was like, no, you guys are monsters. The 26-year-old added that one shining light of the current period is the ability to call out unacceptable actions like these. We effing survived it. That's what Hollywood is. I thought we all knew that we were sex workers, which is just a depraved way of looking at things, but also just goes to show how twisted and warped his mind is. But this is what Hollywood does to people. I mean, in Hollywood, I think it is sadly true that, yes, you are a prostitute. You're preening for the camera. You may not have your clothes off all the time, but you are still selling a part of your soul for that. And that's what that's why I think you see this sort of behavior in so many actors, because there's something just missing in them, especially when the producers and directors, like what happened with him, do take advantage. That's why you see so many people in Hollywood come out with such obvious and glaring mental issues. And sadly, when they develop these mental issues, they can also end up taking them out on other people, because as well as all of this weird behavior, then he started to lash out at other people, and more news stories came out about, including this one from earlier this year, where he was arrested over assaults that he committed in Hawaii. I'll just read through a little bit of this. A 29-year-old visitor from Vermont was arrested for second-degree assault after an incident at a residence in Pahau. It's Hawaiian, I don't know how to pronounce it, said the police department in a statement. During the course of their investigation, they determined that he was Ezra Miller, and who became irate after being asked to leave and reportedly threw a chair, striking a 26-year-old female on the forehead, resulting in a cut. The woman refused treatment. He was arrested as well earlier that month for harassment and disorderly conduct at a karaoke bar. According to the police, he grabbed a microphone from a woman singing and lunged at a man playing darts after becoming aggravated by a rendition of Shallow from the film A Star Is Born. So he must have thought their singing was that bad, he had to take it into his own hands. I think from that same incident that they're mentioning there, he also later broke into that couple's hotel room and threatened to murder them. And I didn't get it for this, but there is quite an amusing police cam footage of when he was being arrested for doing all of this.
Was he screaming, I'll do it again?
close enough. What he was doing, he was screaming at them for not using they-them pronouns when referring to him. And he was threatening that he was going to sue them for hate crimes because they referred to him as him and sir. They said, can you please calm down, sir? You're hysterical.
Stop.
And
then
he went, they, them! They, them! My pronouns are they, them! It was insane. It's completely insane. And then the thing that I covered last week, where I went into some detail here, if you want to see the full story of this, I'll just go over the cliff notes. Check out the podcast I did with Carl last week. But basically, he was accused of cult-like tactics to groom someone's 12-year-old daughter. Okay, and so just to go over the cliff notes, he met this girl who was a Native American girl and her parents when she was 12, and apparently immediately took a liking to her. He said he is a self-described life coach, so he's like, I'll take you under my wing and I'll show you how to live your best life. And then he started, as the years went on, to take her on set with him. Like when she was 14, he took her on set of Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, and apparently everybody else on set just thought that this was perfectly normal. That a man in his late 20s was just bringing this 14-year-old girl with him. Okay, he offered to pay for her college, and then she dropped out at the age of 18 and then decided to stay at his place for a few days, where they apparently did lots of drugs, and apparently he'd been plying her with drugs before she hit 18 as well. And then she also began, after meeting him, identifying as non-binary transgender, and the parents did eventually file a restraining order against him. And then the daughter herself posted on Instagram defending him and accusing her parents of transphobia. That's just the cliff notes of that story. But it doesn't paint a pretty picture.
Mad.
It doesn't paint a pretty picture, does it? And it really makes you think when these people, when we call these people out for grooming in classrooms and they say there's no grooming in the political agenda, this is obviously a man with a political agenda. He identifies himself as politically queer. There is massive connotations to all of that. And he is proving every single stereotype about this correct. So maybe if those calling themselves queer don't want to get the groomer label thrown at them, maybe stop letting so many obvious groomers be part of your political movement. That's step number
one. And celebrating them in your newspapers such as Pink News.
Yes. They're having a little bit more trouble celebrating them nowadays. But then I thought I'd carry on with this because there has been some more developments in the story since this. And I thought this was a follow-up at first to the original one because, oh, grooming a 12-year-old. I thought, oh, this just must be more related to that same story. No. This is another 12-year-old. This is a completely different 12-year-old that he's been inappropriate about recently. So I'll just read through this article because this article and the stuff it's talking about is insane. Completely bat-ass nuts. And I'll just read through it. And if anybody wants to know how to react, just watch Callum's face. And we'll go from there. Okay, so hot off the heels of having one granted against him based on accusations of alleged grooming, Ezra Miller now has a second protective order issued against his persons, this time on behalf of a 12-year-old child who claims the actor acted so inappropriately towards them that they were scared to be around him. The incident at the centre of the legal request occurred on February the 2nd, when Miller allegedly visited the 12-year-old's home in order to hang out with them, their mother, and the family's neighbour, the latter of whom knew the actor through the bandmate and close friend Whitney Suitors.
Well, the idea, oh, hello there, I just want to hang out with your 12-year-old girl.
little bit unusual. So, according to the neighbor, when Miller arrived at the evening, the actor was wearing a bulletproof vest, and I had no idea until later that he was armed. Okay. Miller's emotions eventually flared when the child's mother recalled how she had recently done some traveling with her tribe, used in slang to reference to a group of friends rather than any sort of Native American community. So, unlike the other girl, these people are just...
They're not
Native Americans. These are just Americans. I don't know what race they are, and it doesn't really matter. To which the actor snapped and accused her of cultural appropriation. As the night continued, the actor would once again make an attempt at critical race theory-based virtue signaling when, after asserting that the board game Parcheesi owed its roots to the Rastafari religion, the neighbour, himself half-black, asked Miller to identify which exact Rastafari sect lent their influence to the game's creation. At this point, the neighbour says, Ezra explodes and starts screaming directly into my face. He said, you don't even know what the F you're talking about. What did you just say to me? And then the neighbour just says, I was caught very off guard. You don't say. I wouldn't expect that either.
Oh, that's someone who's been caught out. Don't you know I know this thing? I was like, no, you don't.
No, you don't. But then this guy is obviously a psychopath and he's got a gun on him, which we'll find out. Amidst this outburst, the neighbour asserted that Miller had then opened up his jacket. He had this big Sherpa jacket and he opened up one side and you could see a gun. And he said, talking like that could get you into a really serious situation. So this is not somebody who just virtue signals. This is somebody who is willing to shoot you if you call him out on his obvious virtue signaling. Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. Miller then turned his focus to the then 11-year-old, telling the child's mother...
It's time for her.
Yep, here we go. I've talked extensively with your child, worrying, very worrying, and they have a lot of power to them. Well, I don't know if they're just leaving out the to keep it a bit more anonymous.
I'm on guard with this person.
I know. At one point, you're going to realize that you don't have any control over them anymore. They're an elevated being, and they would be lucky to have someone like me to guide them.
Yeah, sure, mate. Yeah, it's fine.
Obvious grooming. Further, Miller next moved to berate the mother, accusing her of both being a witch and a vampire due to the fact that she dressed goth. Do you want to drink my blood? The actor repeatedly yelled. Do you? He then reportedly turned back to the child, proceeding to shower them with compliments, make moves to position himself physically closer to the child, touching their hips and even asking them to add him as their friend on Instagram. Upon learning that the child was a fan of horses, he is said to have told the child that they would buy a number of horses and allow them to come take care of them on his Vermont farm, only 40 miles away from the child's home. After apologizing for this incident, he reportedly returned to visit the home just 2 days later, this time without incident. And they make mention that he was obviously high while all of this was going on. But even if he wasn't high, I feel like he probably would still be like this, given the footage that I've seen of him and how he responds, and the fact that he was obviously trying to groom an 11-year-old in this situation.
I mean, it's almost a hostage situation with him being armed.
Yeah,
I mean,
like, he's got a bulletproof vest on, he's got a gun, and he's trying to hit up your 11-year-old.
While screaming at you that you're interrupting his virtue signaling about how, don't you know this is a black
while
game?
Screeching, I need to, are you going to drink my blood? Well, are you? I mean, oh, Jesus
like,
Christ.
Dude needs to be knocked the frick out and given over to the police.
He really, really does. And then if we carry on, unsurprisingly, Warner Brothers, after all of this, I mean, it took them bloody long enough.
Give him a promotion.
Have said, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, but an insider has said that they are likely to be dropped, that he is likely to be dropped from DC and The Flash, and they just said, there's no winning in this.
Maybe. I love how there's a room of error in which they're like, well, you know, even if he did all this.
Well, duh. But, and then I just wanted to finish up with the last one, and I can see I accidentally put the wrong link in there from Bounding Into Comics when I was going for the Pink News article instead. But I'll just read the text as I've got it, because it's from the Pink News article, because Pink News weren't really able to, you know, like, big him up as some queer icon anymore, sadly, because, you know...
Queer icon takes child hostage. screams at mother about blood drinking.
Well, actually, this does reference it a little bit as well, so this is still a relevant article. I just thought I'd get the Pink News one. But the text is from the Pink News, so authorities are now looking for the Flash actor to serve him a domestic violence protection order granted to the parents of Gibson Iron Eyes, who was the girl that he was grooming originally, for alleged physical and emotional abuse as well as grooming. However, law enforcement have said they cannot locate or serve Miller. Following these claims and failed attempts by the law enforcement to find him, the actor posted multiple taunting Instagram posts on the 14th of June before deleting his entire account. One of the posts read, screenshots of which were posted to Twitter, "You cannot touch me, I am in another universe." Another continued with, "Message from another dimension," and then he rounded off with a quote that said, "I am shielded from negative people and their ill intent. My spirit, mind, body, soul, and success are not altered by anyone's envy. I am protected from all negative people people attempt to throw at me. Subconsciously and consciously, I clear any and all hidden peers who are hidden enemies." And that's where we are up to this point, because as far as I'm aware, police still haven't managed to track him down so that they can serve him this protection order.
A weird homeless lunatic queer icon in your backyard, call the police.
Yes, dressed as some kind of sexy toad, as he keeps saying, and screeching that you need to drink his blood right now, and waving a gun about, please... let the authorities know, because goddamn, this man needs to be locked up. But I do really think it's a shame, because he's obviously been somebody who's been groomed and abused in the past, and he is obviously somebody who has carried on that cycle of abuse. And this is why I just say, maybe Hollywood should just burn. Maybe Hollywood should just
burn. The whole culture needs to go.
It really does, because it's obviously degenerate and sickening, if I'm completely honest.
I suppose we'll move on to the intersectional conquest. So, we have another instance of someone needs to put the Red Army music on, like the conquest, because we have it yet again in the UK this time. I'm sure you've seen the thumbnail already with the flags. But otherwise, just mentioning first, being the fact that this obviously relates into the Ethical Companies podcast that did with Carl ages ago, collectivist ends without collectivist means, with all those rainbows and the reasons as to why. Because if we go to the next one here, you can see, where this starts off, Paul Joseph Watson saying that, Nothing really says oppressed and marginalized like your flag lining half a mile of a major capital city street. That certainly doesn't.
I forget who it was that said this. It might have been someone in the National Socialist Party or the socialists of the USSR and such. I think they say that the whole point of propaganda is not necessarily that you believe it. It's that you know it's BS and you can't say anything about it. It's naturally demoralizing to know that you can't point out this doesn't look like oppression to me.
No, we want both of you to be lying and know you're lying and still raise the red flag. And in this case, the rainbow flag.
Also,
progress.
I know John mentioned Rachel. It, but I can't remember. What does the black circle?
Intersex. I believe it's not black, it's purple. But
how does that relate to hermaphrodites?
It's not even 1% what we're talking about. It's like 0.01% of people which are intersex, which is added in because more reasons.
Is the hole to represent men with holes that they where they shouldn't be? Is that what I'm saying here?
Maybe, but we'll go to the next one here because, of course, this is the biggest downgrade in history, as one person noted, and is definitely correct, as you can see, because we had the Jubilee, and, of course, this whole country was plastered in British flags, which was,
celebrating fascism, obviously, so that needed to go.
So instead, we put up the new party flag instead of the country flag, which is certainly less fascist. I mean, you don't know if you've ever seen footage of 1930s Germany under the Nazis and the flags they put up. You never see the German flag. You always see the party flag, of course.
Well, yes, of course, because the state is God now.
Yeah, and we have the intersectional party flag there. But if we go to the next one, there's also this intersectionalists who are celebrating, as you can see with this meme here. It's like, ugh, no, British flag, disgusting. Whereas the party flag being risen over the entire street.
Is this person serious with this?
I believe so. But if they're not, there are plenty others who certainly are.
Yeah.
So if you go to the next one, you can see the BBC who are gloating about this. Now the Queen's Jubilee. This is a BBC journo who is very proud to make this post. Lots and lots of likes and retweets.
Fire them.
That's what you'd think. And if we go to the next one, there's some other people just being quite happy that the flag's being brought down here, the footage of it happening. Goodbye, Jubilee. Hello, London Pride. Swapping over the flags. And as you can see, the footage there, which kind of just makes me sick to look at because it's obviously a metaphor for what is happening in this country, which is the destruction of the original country and instead the replacement of it with the party. The regime, as it gets called in the United States, or the cathedral, of course.
Well, it's being replaced with the ideology, because beyond all of this, it is just going back to the ideology, isn't it, really? This egalitarian idea.
Well, this intersectional idea. And if you go to the next one here, we can see the fact that the person responsible for this is apparently the Crown's estate, of all people, as well. Which is just gross and disgusting. For people who don't know who the Crown's estate is, that isn't run by the Queen directly, she doesn't deal with these matters, of course, or the royal family. It is instead the people who are being given the Crown's property and then have to manage that property, which is worth quite a lot, and a lot of the money goes back
to the managers.
Government. Yes, it is the managers.
Once
who have
again,
done this.
Proving that they do not have the same interests as those whose property they control.
No, they have been completely religiously captured by the, you know, faith of wokeism and intersectionality here and have put up these flags as a symbol of domination. I don't know if you can click on it, John, because this is a much better photo for the situation, as you can see there. I mean, it's just, I mean, it's obviously just some kind of symbol of subjugation of the public at this point.
Yeah, you really have titled this one quite nicely because this does look like conquest, because it is conquest. In terms of the philosophical ideas that backed up this country and led us to the empire and led us to, civil liberties and other such things, they've just been pulled back. They've been completely repealed and replaced with this.
But you know, we'd all be speaking German? Well, apparently we'll all be speaking wokeism instead. I mean, that is the reality in which we live. Mm. And this all ties in quite nicely with something that happened on online, which is groomers obsessed with making sure that you know that they are grooming. In this case, Sesame Street, of course, who are insistent on teaching kiddos that they must
maths?
Honor one thing.
Do they teach them math? No.
Not maths.
Not anymore.
No, the highest virtue in life is to praise the party and their flag. And as you can see here, this is, what does the pride flag mean? And they, of course, trying to put this towards kids, although I think this is more 30-year-old weirdos. But let's go through it. So we'll click on the first one there, which is just, as you can see, very creepy. But if you go to the next image, you can see the first colours. This is how they define the original design. Life, healing, sunlight, nature, serenity, spirit.
I'm pretty sure it was just a rainbow, but okay.
No, the homosexual toleration.
Oh, I forgot that purple isn't in the rainbow, so it can't have really been a rainbow where they just added an extra colour.
No, but just the whole rhetoric around this, I hate it. I don't care, whatever. Maybe this is what the original flag designer said, but it's just obvious bollocks, which is the what it stood for was homosexual toleration. Surely, that was the idea instead.
I mean, if that's what the person said that it meant, I don't really care.
Yeah, but it also just is irrelevant to the point, which is, well, then the obvious adjustments had to be made, of course, didn't they? Also, for bi people in the audience, basically just homos of another kind. Come on. I the idea that like they don't fit in there. You know, the LGBT, it's all one thing. It's all one thing in my mind.
I'm sorry, also, John's just pointed out, they just had to throw AIDS in there.
Yeah, this is the next bit, which is the black and brown stripes. The brown and black stripes were added to represent queer people of colour. I'm going to stop you there for a minute before we get to the AIDS. Why, obviously? Why separate and equal chevrons?
Yeah, why separate them out? I mean, I understand that it's intersectional, so from their own perspective...
Need a little bit of segregation.
Yeah, yeah, obviously. I mean, that's what intersectionality is all about. That's how you intersect, by separating.
I mean, there's us queers, and then there are the black queers, which are our own little room, so we don't have to touch them, presumably.
I mean, they'll give us AIDS if we do, so...
That is the point made, which is it's also to represent AIDS. What?
I mean...
Okay!
All right.
I suppose so. Sesame Street. that's what you had to say, didn't you? And if we go to the last bit here, of course, the Sesame Street's explanation of the rest of it, which is the white, pink, and light brew are for trans and non-binary individuals, which means that they're for zero sexualities. I mean, at least queer black people are still gay, presumably, although they're not really gay. They're politically gay, of course. There is the definition there. That, of course, if you're gay and don't believe in this, then you're not gay anymore.
The fact of the matter is, at this point, you can be politically gay without actually being gay at all, can't you?
Whereas if you're gay, you can also just not be part of the gay race anymore.
Yeah, that's that's where all the bisexuals that I see come into it. You're politically gay without actually having to do anything to prove that you're gay. You're married with children, but I swear I'm bisexual. I'm an ally, guys.
But then there's the trans and non-binary aspects. Again, zero sexuality is only mental states instead. Which, good to know. I mean, this is how you end up with all kinds of neurodivergence being represented, although it already is. And then they say that there's the chevron, which signifies the importance of progress. I really hate this. I've had this discussion with Carl. I don't know what the solution is to this, but I really despise that these people have some kind of monopoly on the word progress, because this is obviously not progress of any certain kind that's, you know, actually progressing us to the future. I mean, denying reality isn't progress.
No.
And that's what they're promoting.
And the side of science claiming that trans women are definitely women, also there's no such thing as a woman. So if I want to find a woman to ask what is a woman, logically speaking, I can't, because not being a woman myself, I never could find a woman to ask in the first place.
This isn't, you know, society is not progressing once we're having these conversations.
No, this is nuts. This is making everything far too complicated.
I mean, I don't know what to do, but I think we need to redefine the word progress as some kind of, you know, coming to terms with reality. Which I think the progressives do not.
I think we should start redefining progress in the same way that we refer to as, like, cancer progressing. It's a bad thing when cancer is progressing.
I still think progress is something useful that happens in society, but it's not people have defined it.
But these people have, as you mentioned, co-opted the word. They've completely taken it. I mean, when we refer to these people...
I'm saying take it back. I'm not letting them have it.
No, when we refer to these people, I mean, we refer to them as progressives.
Progs.
Yeah, we refer to them as progs. Although, to be fair, being a fan of prog rock, it does kind of offend my sensibilities as well. But yeah, I think just abandon the word, let's just have it mean progressing to cancer.
No, I think we need to take it back and redefine it as, you know, actually becoming in terms with reality or something like that. But anyway, let's go to the next link here, in which we can also see the American intersectional police have now become a thing. We've had this in Europe, specifically the UK, as we've demonstrated many times before. And, well, we have speech crime in this country, so there is a reason for them to exist, which is to oppress us. Not joking, that is genuinely what they do. Whereas, you know, checking your thinking in Harry Miller's case. Whereas the Americans don't, so I don't really get the point in this, but let's play the clip and have a look.
Hi, I'm Officer Lutz with the Columbus Division of Police. I'm your LGBTQIA+ liaison officer. And we're unveiling right now our Pride Cruiser for the month of June. I'm excited about this cruiser. Great for representation.
I mean, there you have it. I mean, just we're gonna ride around in this.
In this clown car that we purchased.
But it's obviously some kind of car of ideology, and they're gonna enforce that ideology.
It literally says report hate crime.
Yeah.
On the side of it.
But there's also the obvious point of, why do they keep calling themselves officers? I mean, you remember it in companies, diversity officers. Or in this case, as he says, the LGBTQI officer, as he calls himself. I mean, it is really just, again, they're telling you what they are, which is agents of ideological force, and are going to enforce you into this. Or else. Or else what? Exactly. But if we go to the next one here, we can see that, what will this person be doing? Will he be arresting people who do anything wrong? No, he's going to be engaging in speech crime problems.
He's going to be arresting people who've literally, done nothing wrong.
Yeah. Whereas we can look at someone who did do something wrong, and happily, now we can report he's got 10 years in jail. Ah, we can go back to the Portland, riots. The riots of peace, as they were caused. As you see here, this is a post from Andy Ngo. Portland Antifa member Malik Muhammad pleaded guilty in March to 14 state felonies. He's been sentenced to 10 years in a federal prison for possession of unregistered destructive devices during the Portland protests. That's bombs. in anyone else's rhetoric. If we go to the next one here, you may remember back in the day, as you can see here, I should have clipped this out, but I didn't. Oh, well. But this is a clip of the Portland representatives at the time just saying, well, the problem is white supremacists. They're the ones who are doing all this rioting, and we need to, you know, they've infiltrated our protests, and we need to shut them down. Malik Muhammad might have something else to say about whether or not he's a white nationalist. We go to the next one. We also have, of course, you may remember, the media just asking questions. Many claim extremists are sparking protest violence. But which extremists? Could be the white nationalists, as they say in here. Which, no, it's not. Because if we go to the charge sheet, as we can see, this is the Department of Justice saying here, Indiana man, sentenced to 10 years. Malik Fard Muhammad being his full name. Any Indiana man was sentenced to federal prison today for repeatedly and intentionally jeopardizing the lives of police officers, destroying public property, and encouraging others to commit violence during the protests that occurred in Portland 2020. According to court documents, in the late summer of 2020, Muhammad traveled to Portland with his girlfriend from their home in Indianapolis to violently engage in area riots. On the 5th of September 2020, during a large civil disturbance in East Portland, demonstrators threw dangerous objects at police, including commercial-grade fireworks, Molotov cocktails, and bottles. Muhammad later pleaded guilty in Multnomah County Circuit Court to seriously burning a demonstrator by throwing a Molotov cocktail and providing baseball bats to members of the crowd. That's what him and his girlfriend were up to. The girlfriend in question is not some innocent bystander either. She went to the shop and got all of that stuff for him, purposely, so they could do this.
Oh, inspiring. Teamwork. When do these guys get the statues?
I don't know if she's a dhimmi and he's got a whole harem of these, because being Muhammad, I imagine he's
you never know.
But he decided to turn up and firebomb the police.
Well,
and,
I mean, if he had his harem, I suppose you can't really charge teenagers with these sorts of crimes, can you?
I think she's of age. But Muhammad, hopefully, he's not that Islamic. Muhammad's trip to Portland does not appear to be an isolated incident either. Investigators obtained evidence that he traveled to Louisville, Kentucky in August of 2020 to meet anti-government and anti-authority violent extremist groups to conduct firearms and tactical training. You wonder who those anti-government groups are? Guess. It's Antifa. Unfortunately, this is being written up, presumably in an environment in which you're not able to say that anymore. In the Justice Department.
Antifa, as far as I'm concerned, are not an anti-government organization. They are an anti-cultural organization. They are anti-West.
They're anti-this government.
Well,
as in the Western form of government.
The Western form of government, even when the Western form of government is literally spouting everything they want them to.
Yeah, I mean, every company, every government department, and still... Well, get the Molotov cocktails, boys, as Muhammad did. Also, if we go to the next one here, of course, the imperial conquest of the intersectionalists rides high. As you can see, Pride Moments account here, which I found funny. Hopefully he does more of these. As you can see, the CIA engaging in it. But also, if we go to the next one, there's a lovely example just from some rando who's like, this is my local paper. The most marginalized people on Earth, of course. I love it. I mean, it's everything, isn't it?
I would buy up all the copies of that and burn it in front of their offices.
I mean, you'd think so, but then you'd be charged with a crime in this country.
Apparently.
In America, we might get away with it as being legal speech still, hopefully. But if you go to the next one, you can see this is, of course, obviously an example of Harville's greengrocer that we've mentioned before, but we'll go over it again in case people haven't. This was the chap who was an anti-communist in the Czechoslovakian regime and then, well, overthrew the country and became the president or prime minister, I forget which one. And he gave a great example of how to understand these weird signs that we have in the West in the same context he had, which is he mentions a greengrocer who put up a Workers of the World Unite sign. And he knows that the greengrocer isn't a communist. So he's like, well, why the hell are you doing that? And the greengrocer's like, well, you have to, don't you? Of course you do. And there's the point, which is that everyone has to engage in it. And also it's part of the system that everyone knows they're lying. It's not, it's not that they should agree or even believe in this stuff. They shouldn't believe in Molotov cocktail police in the name of diversity and inclusion.
But they have to toe the party line.
They have to show that they are part of the system and therefore uphold the system.
But even then, that doesn't work because you see all of those businesses from the 2020 riots that put up signs literally saying, oh, we're on your side. We believe in everything you believe in. They still got torched.
They did plead for, you know, not to be murdered, but too bad. I mean, the party will still come for you, of course.
Sucks to be them.
But it is true in Harville's example, which is that all of this is an effort in, well, subjugation, number one, but upholding the system as it is as well. I mean, you become part of the system if you engage in this. So that's what that local paper is doing, and therefore, well, that's what they are. And then if we go to the next one here, I thought we'd demonstrate... There is some good news, though, which is that the regime may have a total control over, you know, the public apparatus, But private conversations still are free, and private purchases on Amazon still are free. And if we scroll down here, you know, there's a best-selling books list, and of course there's the usual average books about who cares, you know, very many a thing. This one I found interesting.
Oh!
Number 17!
Bloody hell, really?
17th most popular book right now is that one.
The which, Batman!
We can't say, of course, but that's news.
That's not what I was expecting.
You don't see that on the media, do you? People talking about the fact that, this came out of nowhere and has just shot to number 17. Interesting, which is, of course, that the private conversations of the public are still free. We are still able to, at least now...
Well, not in Scotland.
Books. I mean, not in Scotland, they've got their own problems. Mm. But, you know, you can still actually trade information, and this is an example of it. I don't know how long he'll last on Amazon before they kill him.
I mean, fair play. I wouldn't be surprised if they take that off, and also I must point out as well that, sadly, Amazon do have basically a counter-surgency going on within them with their Glamazon department, who are like the pro-LGB alphabet mafia people.
They've got all kinds of
repeatedly tried to get books taken off of the site. So if they get more influence, we will not expect to see this sort of stuff come up anymore.
But it
is on there right now.
My point is about Amazon. My point is about the fact that look how well this can still sell, even with no assistance. I mean, what social media is he posting on that's mainstream?
I mean, Getter's not that mainstream at the moment, but so...
He's not, because he's banned. I mean, that's the point. It's like he's not on any of the massive accounts. Instead, he's only on Getter, so you'll have to find him on Getter, of course, as you mentioned. So go do that. But the last thing I wanted to end on in regards to the intersectional conquest, specifically of the UK today, but globally, of course, is I found this out, which is the World Conference Against Racism. And I found this whilst I was reading Doggs's new book, The War in the West, and it's really funny, so I thought I'd end on this. So some folks got together in the UN and were like, maybe we should have a conference against racism. This was in the 70s, so they thought, okay, you know, South Africa exists. Good idea. Let's do it. So they did for those years, in which they were like, don't you know apartheid is bad? Yes, it is bad. Good meeting, everyone. Let's leave. And that seems pretty standard of the UN for many a decade. And then South Africa wasn't a thing anymore. And then it got to the 2000s, and they were like, what do we do now?
Let's make some problems.
Yeah, so they decided to make up some and then also just engage in rampant anti-Semitism because, you know...
it always gets there.
It's the UN! So they're saying here, the 2001 meeting was marked by clashes over the Middle East and legacy of slavery. I'll note here, Douglas mentions, the clashes about the Middle East and slavery were only about European slavery of Africans. Arab slavery of Africans and Europeans, not mentioned. Not something be given for reparations.
Just to point it out, there's a reason that the legacy of slavery is not as visible over there, that there's not as many black and white people walking out. It's because they castrated them all.
But there's no conversation of it either.
No, of course there
isn't.
I
mean, in this example, they did also enslave loads of Europeans. I mean, the Barbary pirates going up. I think it's 1,250,000 in total that they took from
Europe. A ridiculous number, yeah.
Zero times it was mentioned. Zero times anyone thought about even asking for reparations. What would that even look like? We're going to ask the Algerians for it. Like, it's, what does that mean?
I think it was David Starkey, when he got cancelled, was pointing out, you know, like, you can't call transatlantic slavery a genocide because, I mean, look, there's still so many over here. But what he left out that could have added some nice context was, you know, the Middle East could be considered a literal genocide because they're buying all of them and then they're literally preventing them from reproducing.
Yeah, sterilization en masse with a knife. But there's also the point that was raised in here, oh my god, the West must give reparations in this conference. And Douglas makes the point, which is just like, well, it doesn't make any friggin' sense either. Because, I mean, this is true, which is just, reparations were paid by the British in cash, in which that we freed all the slaves with cash, and then we went around policing the world, paying in cash to do it.
The argument against that will be that we paid the slave owners the cash.
So what?
I know. The point is we got their freedom.
But it's not just that. We then paid for the whole world to no longer engage in that practice with the East Africa Squadron, which I believe Douglas makes a point. What was it? 40% of the government spending was on that at one point, just to deal with the payments for slaves and to fund the ending of the slave trade. Whereas the Americans also did. In blood, frankly. I'm sick of this argument that the Americans haven't paid reparations. Because Douglas makes the point, he was like, well, okay, let's say we do reparations. Okay, if you're a descendant of a northerner family, do you pay less? Because your family fought to abolish it? And if you're a southern family, do you pay more? I mean, how do you take that into account? And of course, you can't, because no one's got the records at this point to even check, frankly. And then there's obviously that the Americans therefore paid in blood. However, the conference continued without getting to any of those questions. And they say it coincided with attacks on Israel and anti-Israeli demonstrations at an unparalleled conference of non-governmental organizations. Canada, followed by the United States and Israel, ended up walking out midway because of the level of anti-Semitism. They were just like, oh boy, we're leaving. Like, conference against racism, how did that go? Also in the conference, African countries led by Nigeria and Zimbabwe and African-American NGOs wanted individuals to apologize for each of the country's responsibility for slavery and recognition of a crime against humanity and reparations to be called as such. That included Robert Mugabe, who was in the process of butchering white farmers, but wanted Britain to pay reparations for slavery being racist.
Mm.
That is very much a sensible place. It's also included the Canadian delegate denouncing Canada for its treatment of First Nation people. He was paid by the Canadian government to do that. Which, okay, yep, literally on their dime. Fidel Castro was applauded as the most democratic country on earth and leader of such. Fantastic. And the Organization of African Unity demanded reparations from the American government for the slaughter of Tutsis by Hutus in Rwanda. Make that make sense. Hutus murder Tutsis in Rwanda in 1994. The Americans are responsible for that. Again, conference against racism. And the Americans are probably left at that point anyway. But then they had another conference in 2009. Canada, Israel, and the United States decided not to turn up to this one.
Probably reasonable.
There's going to be a lot of talking about Lee Happy Merchant memes, aren't there? And later that day, about 40 delegates had to walk out during the Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad's speech on Israel. Germany decided not to turn up to that one either because they thought it might look bad.
Listen, we've got some history with this stuff, okay? We don't need to be seen with this.
Just Mahmoud's like, yeah, you know the Jews? That guy knows what I'm talking about. It's like, oh, I don't want to be here. And then in 2021, the conference against racism continued, except it was boycotted by the entire West, who were just like, we're not taking part.
This is just a joke.
Yeah, and there you have it. I mean, there's the intersectionals in their own conference, and it gives us a future, or at least a glimpse into what an intersectional world order would look like. You know, like a Chinese world order or American world order, and we have it there in the sense of just endlessly happy merchant memes and demanding that white people go extinct, presumably. But there you are. There's the intersectional conquest that has happened in Britain and presumably will be continuing throughout the world. Go to the video comments. Oh, sure.
Really quiet.
Can't hear this very well. Oh, for God's sakes. For people listening, it's me running away from his waifu bots, which is accurate.
Doing kissy faces. Oh, no!
Yeah, indeed, I will run away from the sex robots.
Good memes.
Although, do you know, you ever play Fallout New Vegas?
Yeah, we've spoken about it before, and my issues with the major glitches in that game, sadly, meaning I couldn't complete it.
There is a quest where you end up at some like seedy bar outside of the main strip, which you go in and this guy's like, oh, I want to hire some prostitutes for the bar because, you know, we're a seedy place. He's like, get me a ghoul. Some people are into that.
Oh, yeah, I played this quest. Yeah.
And he's like, get me what was the other one? He needs a guy because he needs to market to the homosexual market. And he's like, just, you know, I'm not into it, but just if you could find a robot for robosexuals, I just, maybe. And then you find one and you come back and you're like, I found you this one. It's called Fisto.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, you did? Let me just give it a test run. And he's like, yeah, whatever, bro. Just give me the caps. So there you are. There's my vision of what he's building there. But otherwise,
so Callum is actively thinking about this and fantasizing about his own Fisto. So no, if you can get
that,
on that,
that necromancer. Chap is essentially making Fisto. And
I know that you want him to, Callum, but for the love of God, stop bringing this into work.
I think we're trying to get away from Fisto. We're seeing that. Anyway, let's go to the next one.
So my Friday was essentially spent working on a race car in the garage and drinking beer at the same time. Definitely an American Friday night, if you ask me. Usually, I think in the UK, you guys spend it in a pub. But yeah, went down to the races afterward, took some photos, took a little bit of video. It was a pretty good time. If you would like to see more, you can check me and my buddy out on World Turtle Photography on Facebook.
Oh, well, there you have
nice.
It. Nice. I found it weird that he said pub with like some kind of vitriol there.
There was a little bit of venom.
You guys down in your pubs instead of watching cars go left.
Hey man, those were some impressive left turns. Let's not knock it.
Go to the next one. God. For people listening, he's moving his roof, and the roof is moving quite a lot, which don't look healthy.
I was so desperately hoping that Alex Jones was about to burst out from there.
With G-Force energy! Let's go to the next one.
If you put a man in a room full of women, he's in heaven. And if you put a woman in a room full of men, she's terrified.
What the hell are you talking about? Man in a room full of women is in heaven? What? I have been in rooms full of women. Heaven is not how I would describe the experience.
Oh, no. Oh.
We did our hair and makeup together. My braids wasn't fresh. Now, you know, come on.
My braids wasn't fresh. My braids wasn't fresh.
It's about white supremacy. Offensive of things that were said
would have been traumatized. And I'm...
It was a fantastic meme.
Yeah.
Totally true. Also, there are probably definitely women who would enjoy being in a room full of men as well. That's total nonsense. But otherwise, there you have it. Let's go to the next one.
Cringe warning.
4 hours probably can be bullshit. 15 hours is as well. At least if you're a professional. Yes, we all do it sometimes, but she develops stuff on a professional level. It's easy to keep with
them. Excuse of a metal man. I have been programming and coding for 3 days now. I have completed my army of anime sex bots.
Oh, oh no.
Coming to conquer you.
Calm down, Callum. Come on.
The bragging about how much you code, bro, I think has to stop. That's for sure. Let's go to the next one.
So you guys asked for some freedom. Couldn't send you that, but I've got 90,000 tons of diplomacy. My brand new 5.56 AR with the red dot, liberty or death, and the all-important American flag.
That's pretty based.
It's just annoying to watch, though, because frankly...
It makes me...
You can go and replace the US Army's PR department, and you'd make the US Army look a way lot cooler than it does.
Yep.
With the endless lie, we're going on a diversity hike because, you know, black people or something.
No, let's keep the country safe and shoot at stuff, bro.
Yeah, but do you remember what was... I think it might have been General Mathis or whoever. Like, you love the quotes you get out of them, which is like, my job is to make sure that any American who goes to fight for IFAS in Iraq dies there. Like, just my job is to make sure they don't come home.
Mm.
And stuff like that, where they recognize the reality of what the American military is capable of, and therefore, you know, advertise them as such, because it's so cool. I mean, like you say, 90,000 tons of diplomacy is a friggin' cool line. Whereas, instead, we get two moms grew up in... You remember that advert?
No, instead what the Navy's getting at the moment is, happens if I don't use their right pronouns?
Yeah, but it's just... Sorry, it just irritates me, the lack of ability of the American military to just advertise itself properly. The next one.
Society has of humanity onto an external agent with potentially a lot of power. You create something that isn't sort of a bit old. Yes. Sort of
you mean to tell me that the Californians are the ones who'd be designing the AIs that are going to become the Terminators and destroy the world?
And honestly, that is exactly how it is. So, just going back to the conversation.
Not on my watch, boy, you know too much.
Okay.
Fair play. Well. He's got his Minecraft open there.
Fair enough.
Nice.
Go to the next one.
So, some of my friends said Harry is a pathological liar. He never tries to actually get a job. He just pretends to try to get a job. He's always telling lies about how his granddad is ill. He's always just lying to try and get more sympathy. And he's never actually trying to get a job. He's just pretending. Why do I bring this up? Because I want to publicly gloat on the Lotus Eaters. Because those friends watch Lotus Eaters. And guess what? I have a job now. Didn't lie about anything. F*** you, I'm right. And I win.
That's a weird brag to be like, I've got a job. But okay, that's good.
Okay.
But in future, could we keep the video comments relevant to what we're doing? Because
yeah, we don't want to be broadcasting people's personal vendettas against their friends on the video comments. So if we could keep things relevant, that would be great. Thank you.
Go to the next one.
Say what you will of the enemy currently on our side of the barricade. But consider the following. I have a Harry Potter bedroom. And for this, I must remind you that jealousy is sinful. But then again, so is pride. Oops.
Not that jealous.
No.
Personally, no.
We had a cupboard under the stairs. It was pretty big. I believe it was my brother. He watched Harry Potter and then was like, I want to do that. So then he moved in the cupboard under the stairs for like a couple of weeks.
Did he regret it?
I think so.
Oh, I mean, fair play to him. I mean, having like a cozy space like that to put like a computer in, like one of the other commentators did, sounds pretty practical. But having your actual room there?
Yeah, we ended up replacing it with a rabbit anyway, but...
You replaced your brother with a rabbit?
No, the brother went back upstairs to his bedroom, and then we put the rabbit in underneath.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You just go to buy a pet, and you're like, oh, we've not got any money on us.
Well, all I'm saying
is... you take them?
Is having a room under the stairs is actually a great idea. I don't know why people mock it.
It is a great idea. It's just having a bedroom under there.
Still seemed pretty cool when I was a kid. Anyway, but let's go to the next one.
Tony D and Little Joan with another Legend of the Pines. From the Princeton Alumni Weekly comes the story of the Hessian. He was a soldier that fought during the American Revolution when George Washington crossed the Delaware and surprised the British in Trenton. They fled to the Princeton campus, burned down part of the college and a church, and the Hessian himself died trying to get into this house on Edge Hill Street. The family who lives there says every Christmas he appears, smiles, and then flies out the chimney.
You know what's weird is Tony D and Little Joan here has become like a meme in the office as well now. I can't remember what it was the other day, but they were reading something. It was about like a place that might have some dead, you know, a bunch of people died at, and then Michael just burst out, Tony D and Little Joan here. It's just like,
that's because we like Tony D and Little Joan. It's so wholesome.
But it's become like a bit of a meme in the sense of just like everything's haunted, frankly. So let's go to the next one.
It is.
Hello, Lotus Eaters. It's your patriarch of dadism in Oklahoma. I'm still alive. I haven't even canceled my subscription. I got a couple months behind because I got a new job, but I'm catching up. I'm not skipping. I haven't missed an episode since 2015, and I'm not going to start today. See you guys soon.
Hey, that's nice.
Oh, good to have you. And it's always good to see you, Chad Dad.
Yeah, and thank you for the loyalty. We really appreciate it. I think that's all for the video comments.
Go to the written comments on the site.
This first written comment is for my segment. I think it's just been put there by accident, so you want to skip it.
Do you want to read it instead?
Okay. General Hyping says, man, the DC universe just can't catch a break. First you get Amber Turd Heard, and now they've got Ezra, probably Wood, Flash, a kid, Miller, to contend with. Better wishing they could go back to just having terrible dialogue and storylines. At this rate, movie executives will have a simple tick box on contracts for, I got problems, so they know what future BS they're going to have to clean up. I mean, if you're in Hollywood, of course you've got problems. That single tick box is going to have to sort of drop down into a multi-questionnaire. So I don't know. I think just tear it all down. Just destroy the whole thing, as far as I'm concerned. Hollywood deserves to burn.
It does seem like the culture is completely pointless. I mean, I remember when Me Too happened, everyone was like, oh my God, Hollywood is degenerate. I was like,
No. Like, I mean, honestly.
And it was just left-wingers who were like, oh my God, it's so degenerate. It's like, the right has been saying that for decades.
It's been obvious. Have you seen the films they put out nowadays?
Baron von Warhawk says, the Biden paradox, demanding American oil companies produce more oil whilst cancelling new drilling locations and then shutting down multiple pipelines and then having to beg Middle Eastern oligarchs for more oil and paying for it with money that will inevitably be used for Islamic terrorism, also while blaming Russia, even though we only get 3% of oil from Russia. Yeah.
Can you not see the logic in that?
It's
doofus?
It's so transparently bull that I don't even know why they're bothering. I mean, I get that it's presumably the literal Joseph Goebbels thing of like, we'll just lie and hopefully people will believe it. But there's no way that's working on anyone. I mean, not even like vote blue no matter who freaks.
That's what I said. One of the things is that people aren't even blaming the businesses, like the small businesses, like they normally do for price gouging. They're just going straight to the tap and going, well, obviously this is the government's fault. So I don't know, maybe if people can see all of the terrible things the government does, maybe there'll be something positive to come out of this.
Longshanks, 1690 says, Joe Biden inherited a booming economy, artificially put to sleep so that he could have done nothing and claims the credit for its resurrection and revitalization. He somehow managed to turn this situation around. It's the worst recession since the 1970s. That's almost an impressive level of incompetence. I mean, you have to try and screw things up that bad. It's a fair point.
I think the economy was probably... the economy shut down in America, well, most states in America, before Biden got in office, because, you know, under the Trump administration was when the lockdown started. But he's not done anything to make it better and has actively been making it worse.
It wasn't put to sleep by the Trumpites, though. the people who were taking the masks off being like, no, you've got to stand up to the virus.
Yeah,
were not the people who did this. I mean, I love, I mean, the chap I spoke to about the oil industry, he mentioned the fact that just, well, you have the COVID lockdowns and then just everything, like the supply lines, the labor, everything is just a mess as a result. And therefore, actually, even if you give them, here's 9,000 new drilling sites, it's like, well, okay, it's going to take 9 months for us to figure out how to get them operational.
Yeah, I mean, I forget what the problem was that was causing it, but there was something going on in LA where just the docks were just completely backed up with liners because...
Oh, that was the supply problems.
Yeah, yeah, the supply problems, and it's just like, how has this happened?
Well, it happened by people purposely putting the economy to sleep. Mm. Caleb Dayton says, I have a brilliant lefty solution on how to bring down the gas prices. Print more money to pay for the petrol tax so people can afford to pay for the petrol they need.
Oh, that will be the solution, won't it?
Yeah. But M1 Ping says, if these leeches suspend the gas tax for 3 months, they'll probably double it for the next 6 months after the election. Yeah, which is what they've done here, incidentally. Which are like, oh, yeah, we're not going to touch those taxes, but also national income's going up. I'm like, great. Thanks.
Yep.
Fantastic. Longshank1690 says, once again, I must ask, if, as Biden alleges, this is all down to the greed of the oil executives, not his policies, why were they so willing to sell oil for less than $3 under Trump? Did Trump have some magic aura that around him that made CEOs want to be less greedy?
He must have.
Yeah. But even then, like, even if it was, let's say 100%, he's totally right. Actually, the price of oil is 1 cent a gallon. The rest of it's just greedy CEOs. Like, if you're one of those greedy CEOs and you're doing this to try and harm Biden, you'd still do it. Because you'd be like, why the hell would I sacrifice my profits for this dude? The guy who said he's literally going to destroy my industry to not exist anymore. Well, like, there is no, I mean, it's not happening, obviously, in that way. But even if it was, it doesn't make any sense for him to be like, just change it, bro. Politically inept on every level. M1 Ping says, if price controls on diesel create shortages and cause the trucks to stop rolling, things in the US are going to get bleak really fast. Get out of the cities. Good advice. Hammurabi the Sixth says, the worst part about his fraudulency isn't the catastrophic inflation, it isn't the Afghanistan disaster, it isn't the record fuel prices, it isn't even the Bidenification.
Bidenflation.
Bidenflation. It is the 2.5 years he has left to wreck the country. I don't know how bad things can get, frankly. I don't know if he can bugger this up even more. I mean, he's certainly trying, but...
And is Biden a secret accelerationist? Is this what's going on?
Just wants China to win.
He wants to return to monarchy. That's his end goal here.
Bleach Demon says, Biden is a senile old coot, always has been. He has never liked the world impacted by his withered, grasping hands. His long, lifelong bureaucrat, like so many of his ilk, does nothing but turn everything he touches into garbage. Certainly seems to be happening. Otherwise, we'll go to the next one.
Yeah, so I just need to give a shout out to whoever decided to call this section Species Queer Groomer in the notes here, so thank you for that. Captain Charlie the Beagle says, ah yes, Ezra Miller, the man whose big break who came when he played a literal sociopath that kills a bunch of school kids in the film We Need to Talk About Kevin, talk about life almost imitating art. Well, you know, we've not got to the end of this story yet. Perhaps he will end up being a school shooter. I mean, not a nice thought, but maybe. Baron von Warhawk, you know things are bad when fictional villains like Captain Cold, Heatwave, Mirror Master, Captain Boomerang, and the Trickster are more heroic than the actor playing the Flash. They're more heroic than 99% of actors out there. As far as I'm concerned, destroy Hollywood, just airlift Chris Pratt out of there before you do so, because Chris Pratt seems like an okay guy.
The Uvalde police officers are more heroic than these people.
Well,
and they did nothing.
Well, no, they actively prevented parents from going, and it's recently come out as well, they actively prevented a husband from going in and trying to save his wife, who was one of the teachers who got shot and died, so...
I still feel like Hollywood would do that.
Hollywood would actually do that, but then they would also make a harrowing, like, based on a true story film about the heroicism of the officers who did rush in and were just too late to do anything. That's what they'd do. Lord Nerevar, Ezra Miller may be a total headcase criminal who's on the run for being a nonce, but at least he's a non-binary and believes in all the right causes. Now, let me tell you about how Chris Pratt is worse than Hitler for going to church and not voting for Biden. Yeah, that's what I mentioned just there. Chris Pratt, I'm almost certain, is secretly based. Do you know, he was in Parks and Recs and such. He's, do you know who he is?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's recently been spotted wearing like a Don't Tread On Me shirt that Reddit was calling out for being Nazi symbology. So Chris Pratt seems like a decent guy. And I think he's just smart enough to know not to really talk about this sort of stuff in public.
The worst thing about the Nazis, limited government. It was unbearable.
I know, terrible, terrible. General Haiping says, Ezra sounds exactly like what Carl described yesterday of the hedonistic young person that's likely to have been encouraged to seek pleasure from sex, drugs, drinking, etc., and to mire themselves in the degeneracy that won't actually help them develop bonds and develop into an actual human and not a Slaanesh demonette. Ezra needs to touch some grass. No, he needs to see the inside of a jail cell, as far as I'm concerned. Although I agree with the rest of it, but the sad thing is the lifestyles that people conduct and develop in Hollywood is that one where it's just sex, drugs, drinking, no formal bonds. Everybody around you is an actor. Everybody around you is a phony. Everybody else around you is there purely for social status. So it's like, why would you believe anything that anybody's telling you in Hollywood? So why not just live it up and just act like today is the last day of your life and who cares what happens tomorrow? Because that's the sort of lifestyle they all lead. And I hate it. I hate it, and I hate every single one of them. Based Ape says, the right need to immortalize that Ezra Miller quote. I thought we all understood we are sex workers, as it's the perfect response to Me Too culture of degeneracy in Hollywood and the left in general, admitted by one of their own. Correct. And Reese Sim as well says, considering Ezra Miller looks like a cross-dressing Ted Bundy, I'm surprised it took this long for him to get arrested for his several depraved and illegal acts. I'm just glad the indie movie scene is becoming more popular and Hollywood is spewing out money, as the sooner that hive of scum and villainy dies off, the sooner scum like Ezra Miller won't have Hollywood backing to drop and lower his charges. That's a good point. Even when he does get caught for evading the law and has all of this pushed against him, he's still going to get away with it scot-free. Unless you're like a Harvey Weinstein and the entire industry just turns against you, let's be honest, for pure PR purposes, if you're in that sphere, you're getting off scot-free with whatever it is you're doing.
That'd be pretty fucking awful if you did.
Yeah, but let's go to the next ones for your comments.
Sure, so Sophie Love Peterson says, well, for a blue pill, here in Denmark, I was surprised to see there hasn't really been any pride stuff around at all. Only one thing happened. A chain bakery decided to rename their cake man, a Danish tradition, into a cake person, and faced immediate backlash and mockery, so they retracted it. Good. I love that. You see it with gingerbread men here. I don't know if you have a version over there, but yeah. Supreme Duck says, all that identity politics and terrible campaigning is very effective at getting me to move out of the city. Well, good. I suppose we'll keep praising them for doing that, because... honestly, screw the cities.
Well, what we should do is we should be encouraging all of the sane people to move out of the cities and all of the nutters to move into the cities. And then we can have a nice, clear dividing line.
You want an endless noise? Move to London.
Yes.
Jacob Connolly says the Pride Crusaders. The Pride Crusaders are just a waste of the public money.
Pride Cruisers.
Cruisers, sorry. A waste of the public money. That is the worst thing about it.
I think the fact that it's being driven by an LGBTQIA plus liaison officer, who is also a massive waste of money and of himself.
Like, if they took double the money they spent on redecorating it and burnt that in front of me, I'd be less pissed off. Because the thing is they're obviously turning the police into a law enforcement department into instead an ideological enforcement department, which is that they're going to go out and enforce ideology on you, which is... no, like, just burn money. Just be corrupt instead. That's better, honestly. Kevin Fox, Columbus police support maps, judging by their lover's love on one's window. Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that. They did have that on there.
Yep, you're not putting any standards forward, so we're going to have to leave that up to ourselves.
Freewill2112 says, Britain is now a totalitarian state. It reminds me, it remains to be seen how authoritarian we become, but the party which should be standing up for our liberties and culture is just a blue version of the New Labour, and pays only lip service to its former values. Its betrayal of Britain is the worst because of the way it flaunts its patriotic credentials. Yeah, it's insufferable. It's really, really unbearable to look at. Alexander P says, intersex isn't what leftists would have everyone believe, which is like hermaphrodites, as Harry said, having both sets of genitals. But of course, intersex is not some medium of the sexes. Intersex people mostly have no idea they are intersex until an internal scan or surgery reveals their genitals did not develop properly internally. For all intents and purposes, an intersex person is the sex they appear as, even if some deformed testicle are present internally in a person who has female genitals externally. The difference in hormone levels is not particularly extreme, as testicles must be attached externally to the body to maintain correct temperature and function.
Yep, no, these are people who still definitely conform to what we would expect to see from people of a particular sex. I've seen articles from, like, I think it's the Scientific American, arguing that some guy who went for a surgery in his late 60s and was found to have just got a tiny little deformed womb in there that they just took out. It was no problem. It wasn't really attached to anything important, so they were just like, oh, we'll just take that out while we're here. They were arguing that that meant that there is a third sex, and therefore you can justify third genders. It's like, no, this man is a grandfather. He has children. He's an obvious he. This is just some deformity that happened as a result of his birth.
Yeah. I should also have mentioned probably the aspect that's probably, again, politically intersex rather than intersex. Because if you are intersex and then you disagree, you'd be cast out anyway.
Of course.
It's not like you're actually included.
We'll take that womb for ourselves. Carly Ma.
So Sophie Love Peterson says, random question. You keep talking about over 1 million visas given to migrants last year. How many of those visas were to Europeans who were already living in the UK? Remember, until last year, any citizen of the EU member state could just go to England and live there with no visa required at all. I, as a Dane, could go there and set up shop. Now, though, I would need a visa if I wanted to stay in the UK for over 180 days. So the data was on that, and there was a breakdown. I can't remember what the percentages were, but the big rise was from non-EU migration, not EU migration, because, of course, there's also an aspect of, like, Poles and whatnot going home, so that was lower than it usually is anyway. Although not by much, surprisingly. People keep saying that, oh, it's ridiculously dropped. It hasn't. It's dropped by a small percentage, frankly, as a proportion. Although the point about how are they getting in? God knows. So basically, if I had moved to England 5 years ago, started a business, so forth, I would have to request a visa for the first time. Yeah, so that was a system in which you had to apply for it to the UK government. That process went ahead ages ago, essentially, because it was whilst the Brexit transition was taking place, people were getting their rights or denied, depending on the circumstances as well. So that's not what inflated the in visa numbers, unfortunately. I wish it was that simple, but it's not. Anyway, that's the last question there. But otherwise, we're out of time. So if you want to watch more from us, lotusears.com, of course. Otherwise, we'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thank you and goodbye.